we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for what you have for us today. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us. And again, Lord, you have prepared us for this day, all the days of our lives. You've prepared us for this day. And I thank you, Lord, that you, I even thank you for St. Patrick's Day. Lord, that's a day to celebrate someone who brought Christianity to an area, brought you to an area, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we can celebrate each other for what we're doing in preaching the gospel wherever we go. And I thank you, Lord, for this portion of our text. I'm so excited about this chapter and so excited about the things that you have to say to us today, Lord. So, Father, would you be in control of our country? Father, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would give them wisdom and that you would cause them to walk in your ways, Lord, and to give their hearts and their lives to you, because at the end of the day, that matters more than anything else. So we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name, amen. I really am so excited about this chapter, not because it's the last chapter, not because we're done with Micah and all of the things in it, but what we expected to end with doom and gloom ends with hope. It ends with pardon. It ends with all of the good things that God has for us. It closes with a brand new day. And so as we look at Micah chapter 7, we see that it starts out, woe is me. Woe is me, Micah says. Woe is me. And I hear that, you know, the prophets, every one of the prophets felt what they were saying to the people. They felt for the people. They understood what it was that they were saying, what it meant for the people, and their hearts were broken over the same thing. They were burdened with that same thing. Recently, I was praying for someone, and as soon as I mentioned their name, I just started crying. And I'm not a prophet, but there was just something in me that felt that person's pain. And in doing that, it caused me to pray differently for them and to try to contact them and see if there was anything that I could do. But that's what happens with a prophet. They feel, they sense the same thing that everybody else is going through. And so that happens to us all the time. That's what they do. They feel what's going on in them. We see that in Jeremiah, in Habakkuk, in Lamentations, in Ezekiel. In Micah, I'm not so sure we saw it in Jonah. Interesting, huh? Yeah. What about me? I'm on. What? But he went anyway. So thankfully, he went anyway. So, woe is me, Micah says. I am spent. I have nothing left to give. I'm exhausted. I'm like those who gather summer fruits and the end of the year grapes after harvest. There's nothing still on the vine. There's been nothing left to glean. It says, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The first fruits were supposed to... You know what? We didn't do our verse. We're gonna go through this verse, and then we're gonna memorize our verse. Okay. The first fruits are to be offered to the Lord. Remember, the first fruits are to be offered to the Lord. The first fruits of any harvest are supposed to go to the Lord. Micah is saying, there are none amongst us that have anything to offer to the Lord. It will go on to say, there's not a righteous man among us. There's no one. We are all spent. We've used up all of those first fruits. We have nothing to give to God because of the way that we have lived our lives. And so with that, keep that thought. And we're going to have Linda come up and teach us the verse so that we get the verse in our hearts before we go any further. We need to have that in there. So she's going to come right up, and we're going to learn what our verse is today. I'm going to sit down while she does that.
Okay. It's kind of like right there. Okay, ready? Therefore I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Micah 7, verse 7. Let's do it again. Ready? Therefore I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Micah 7, verse 7.
You guys were doing so good. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to hear you, okay? You can do this.
Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Micah 7, verse 7.
And that's the truth.
I hear you guys learning the verses. Every week it's a little bit more that I'm hearing you guys sing with her. That's so cool. That's so cool. So when we get to that verse, you will already know what it has to say. Moving right along, we'll get right back to what we were talking about in verse 1. And so it says that those first fruits should go to God. And the faithful man has perished. Why do we not have any first fruits to offer to God? The faithful man has perished from the earth. There is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net to catch them, to keep them from doing it, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. What does that mean? They are all in. They're all in. Evil is continually on their mind. Evil was continually on their mind. Who else can we worship? Who else can we rip off? The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bribe. And the great man utters his evil desires. So they scheme together. The evil man and the prince and the judges all scheme together to make it happen. The best of them is like a briar. What does that mean? The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. Okay, it means that the evil will not allow the righteous in. The evil will not allow the righteous in. They will cut them to pieces. The wicked keep the righteous out. Today, with cancel culture and with the censorship of so much, you can't even speak the truth. How many of you know about Pastor James Coates? Pastor James Coates? He is, he spoke the truth in Ontario, Canada. as it was written in the Bible, in answer to a man who asked him a number of questions, and now he is in prison because of his answers to those questions. But that's not the only reason that he's in prison. He did appear before the judge in Canada, and the judge asked him to not preach or teach again, to not set foot in the church again, and he would be released. Pastor Coates responded similarly to the Apostle Peter. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue preaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Acts 5:27 through 29. That's what Pastor Coates said to them. And so now he's not in, the scripture? Acts 5:27 through 29. Do you need to know what it says? Or just, okay. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." So if you are interested in writing to Pastor Coates, I can have the address that you can write to him, and there are certain directions that you have to follow when you write letters to him. So if you want to do that and you want to encourage him for what he's doing there, please do so and see me afterwards. You see, we are being protected from the truth. Let that set in. I'm not making a political statement. I'm making a statement that says we are being protected from the truth. They want to protect people from hearing about Christ. I'm not talking about political issues. I'm talking about Christ. Because it's not safe for everybody to hear about Christ. It's not safe. We want to protect you. We don't want anybody to be offended. If somebody's offended, you can't say that anymore. We're in deep. We're in a deep place. Today, we're in a deep place. There may come a time for us as Americans, nearer than that we would like, that we would be told that we can't tell the truth. And will we find ourselves in prison because we refuse to not speak the truth in love? So, moving on in verse 4. And so he got, "The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity." What is it about the watchmen? What were the watchmen to do? They were to watch for danger, they were to warn the people, and then they were to join the fight. But warn the people. They had not been watchmen. What happens to the watchmen, if you remember, what were we going through? Was it Ruth that we were going through? I'm not sure when we talked about the watchmen on the wall. The watchmen on the wall, if they didn't report what was happening, what was coming, they were thrown to the wolves, so to speak. They were thrown into the enemy's group, and they were do with what you want with them because they did not warn us. They did not do what a watchman is supposed to do, and now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend, verse 5. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth for her who lies in your bosom. Don't trust your spouse. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. We are seeing that right now. We are seeing that right now. We are in that situation right now. You can't trust anyone, not even your spouse. We can. But he's telling them, you guys can't trust anybody. This is what's happened to the family of God. You can't trust anyone. When truth is no longer the standard for society, then everything starts to fall apart. Faithfulness to our word is the cement that holds society together. Faithfulness to our word is the cement that holds our society together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We put on the belt of truth. What does the belt of truth do? It holds everything together. It holds everything up and it holds everything together. And without it, it all falls apart. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That you can take to the bank. All other ground is sinking sand. Don't put your trust in anything but the Lord. Verse 7, therefore, say it out, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me. My God will hear me. Now you know how to sing it. I'm going to ask you. No, I'm not going to ask you to sing it. But the Lord in here, notice that the Lord here is all in caps. We talked about that last week. So this is the covenant name of the Lord. The covenant name of the Lord that's being used here. My God will hear me. God is always listening. But I'm here all, God is always listening. But I'm in a room by, God is always listening. I told you about this before. Siri decided that she would answer all my questions that I wasn't asking. And I said to Siri, stop listening to me. And it said, I can't do that. I can't do that, Dave. For those of you who don't know, 2001 Space Odyssey, the computer Hal, who told them, I can't do that, Dave. And that's really what it sounded like. I can't do that. You see, Siri is always listening when it's in the area of your voice. God is always listening because he's always in the area of your voice. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. He is a God who hears. He is a God who hears your prayers, and he's always listening to you. He has some, I felt this as I was putting this together. He's waiting to hear from some of you today. He has some things he'd like to discuss with you. And I'm telling you, this is a word from the Lord. So if it is for someone in here, maybe it's for the evening ladies, probably nobody in here. But he has some things he'd like to discuss with you. Will you take the time to speak to him and listen to him? Take the time to have a conversation with God. A conversation is speaking and listening. Have that conversation with the Lord. Do not rejoice over me, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Listen, enemy, don't even. When I fall, I will rise. Hallelujah, I will rise. Though a man falls seven times, he will keep getting up. Even though I fall, I will rise again. And we should sing that on Easter Sunday. I'm just like, I will rise again. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we will rise again as he rose again. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, when I sit in darkness, there's nothing but darkness around me. The Lord will be a light to me. The Lord will be that light to me. He is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is, his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The Lord is the light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. What does that mean? I take responsibility. I'm not excusing my sin. I'm not acting like I didn't do anything. Maybe somebody else did something, but I'm taking responsibility for that because as a people, we have sinned. And so he says, "Because I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case, what does that mean? Until he comes for us, and this is speaking of Jesus coming, and executes justice for me. He stands in the gap for me. He executes judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light. He's bringing, he is wooing you right now. Come into the light. Come into the light. That sounds so terrible, doesn't it? Come into the light. Don't go after the light. All the movies. Don't go toward the light. Yes. Go toward the light. Go toward the light. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see, and shame will cover her, who said to me, where is the Lord your God? Where did we hear that before? Weren't they saying it even on the cross? As Jesus was hanging on the cross, where's your God? He saved others, let him save himself. Where's your God now? Where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her. And for me, I'm looking at this, and it's two things. One, it's speaking of Jerusalem, the city Jerusalem. Two, it's speaking of the enemies. Usually when a city is talked about, when Jerusalem is talked about, it's referred to as a her. And so I'm seeing this in two ways. And I'm choosing right now to say my eyes will see my enemy. My eyes will see my enemy. Now she will be trampled down like mud in the streets. Or my eyes will see Jerusalem, and I will see it trampled down like mud in the streets. And that is exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Where is the Lord your God? And that's my enemy. My enemy will be trampled down like mud in the streets. My eyes will see it happen. I've talked to you about it before, about Lena and her 100 children. It's a movie made for TV, and for you youngers, you probably have no idea what that means, a movie made for TV. It went straight to CD. It went straight to DVD, but it's Lena and her 100 children, and she taught the children as they were escaping from the Holocaust. As Lena was bringing them out from the Holocaust, they were on the train. They had all kinds of passports that didn't belong to any of them. It didn't even look like any of them. And the guard came in, and he was questioning all of them, and she had already taught the children what to do when the enemy comes in. And she started to say, Haman, Haman. Who was Haman? Who was Haman? Haman in the book of Esther. And she began to say it, and the kids started stomping their feet and started making loud noises because they were fighting against the enemy, just like making all of the loud noises to fight against the enemy. She had taught them how to fight against the enemy. And they let her go. They let all of the children were safe because she taught them how to war. Well, did she put guns in their hands? No. But she taught them how to do spiritual warfare. We need to teach all of our kids that. So, in the day when your walls are to be built, in that day, the decree shall go far and wide. In that day, Amos 9:11, on that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. God is speaking to that. He is the one who's talking about that. In that day, and in that day, they shall come to you from Assyria and the fortified cities and the fortress to the river, from the sea to sea and mountain to mountain. Yet the land shall be desolate because they have come in. The land shall be desolate because of those who dwell in it, because there is no righteousness in you. Because of those who dwell in it, it will be desolate, and for the fruit of their, because of the fruit of their deeds. In that day, yet the land shall be desolate. Jeremiah 21:14. But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, says the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forest, and it shall devour all things around it. Their punishment was the reward of their unrighteousness, the effect of their sinful practices. There are wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 14, shepherd your people with your staff. You notice that the wise are capitalized. We're speaking about God. He's speaking to God. Shepherd your people with your staff. What about the staff? Oh God, shepherd your people with your staff. What does a shepherd use a staff for? Three things. On rocky trails, so to stabilize your footing. Number two, the staff is an offensive weapon. If somebody is coming against the sheep, you use the staff to fight them, to keep them away. It's the job of the shepherd to protect the sheep. I don't have to protect myself. It's the job of the shepherd to protect the sheep. And number three, sometimes sheep have minds of their own. They aren't always very smart, and they need correction. They might wander off, and when that happens, you can use the staff to pull them back into the flock to keep your sheep in line. Jesus, as your shepherd, wants to help keep you steady, particularly when you're walking in a difficult season. Your shepherd wants to keep you walking steady right now in the difficult season that you're in. We are in a difficult season. Maybe some of us were just going, nothing. I walked right through this. And then one day we're like, oh man, you know what? I thought I was doing so good, but all of a sudden I feel like I'm not doing so good. And those times that we walk through, Jesus, as your shepherd, wants to help keep you steady, particularly when you're walking in a difficult season. He wants to fight on your behalf against the enemies that come against you. He wants to fight on your behalf against the enemies that will come against you. And if you've made a commitment to say, I will follow you, he takes you very seriously. So if he says, go this way, and you're going in another way, he will use his staff to correct you, to bring you back in line. Not because he's mean, but because he loves you. And because if you go that way, you could encounter a pack of wolves. If you go the opposite way of what he's telling you, you could be walking into a pack of wolves. The shepherd wants to keep you safe. And Micah is asking God to shepherd his people with his staff. So shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, your children, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. All three of those places are very beautiful pasture lands. With plenty of food for the animals to eat. Plenty of pasture land going there. And verse 15 starts out, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. And I put in the front of that, I added to the word just a little bit, just a word to remind me, remember. We come against that word again. Remember, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. Even as it was in the days that you came out of Egypt, you are about to see those same kind of wonders. I wonder if right now we're talking about that time when Jesus has come back and he's coming again for his children. I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. The nations will be ashamed. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Remember when Satan was busted in the Garden of Eden? What happened to him? You will lick the dust of the earth. He became a serpent at that time and crawled on his belly. And so that's what we're talking about here. They shall lick the dust like the serpent. And it shall be because of you, Lord. Verse 18. Now, verse 18 through 20 is always read on the Day of Atonement. While they're fasting, it was read on the Day of Atonement. And it is also read on New Year's Day, on the Jewish New Year's Day. And on the Jewish New Year's Day, they take their, whatever is in their pockets, and it goes into running water. And it goes with the scripture that says, you will cast all our sins into the deepest depths of the sea. So it's a remembrance of that. It's a reminding us of those things. So verse 18, who is a God like you? We're going right back to Micah's name. Micah's name means who is like our God. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? God will always have a remnant, always have a remnant. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. When mercy is used in this text, it is that word hesed. Mercy is that the love without an exit strategy. Hesed is used here for that word mercy when you look up the Hebrew on it. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Jesus will cleanse us from all sins. You will cast all our sins into the deepest depths of the sea. And Corrie Ten Boom says, and he will cast your sins into the deepest depths of the sea. And Corrie Ten Boom says, and puts up a sign saying, no fishing allowed. Because don't we do stuff like that? Have you ever did a visionary thing of you've got your box of stuff? You know, you're just kind of, how do I make this into my mind? So I've got my box of stuff. My axe, that's from Chicago. I've got my box of stuff, and I'm taking it up to the foot of the cross, and I lay it at the foot of the cross, and I walk away and grab it as I'm walking away. Isn't that what we do? We give it to God, and then we take it with us. But he said, you will subdue all our iniquities. Jesus cleanses us from all sins. He casts all our sins into the depths of the sea. And you will give truth to Jacob. This is an important thing. You will give truth to Jacob. Jacob was a conniver, not a MacGyver. He was a conniver. And he got away with a lot of stuff. And God will give truth to Jacob. He will become a man of truth. And mercy, we already talked about that, has said, no exit strategy, which you have sworn to our fathers, and you will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Luke 1, 72 and 73. God loves you. God loves you, and God has great things planned for you. We've learned a lot, some hard things from this book. Anybody else learned a hard thing in this book? Has anybody else learned a hard thing? I learned a hard thing in this book. We've grown from our study, and we end with this beautiful promise of God that I'm going to send my son. We know how the book ends. I'm going to send my son. He's going to die on a cross for you. He's going to raise from the dead. He's going to forgive you of your sins. And we end this beautiful promise of God that there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Keith Green wrote that just before he died. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit until his work on earth is done. God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. So next week, bring your finger foods to share. And remember that God gets all the glory. And I hope I'll see all of you next week for that. So God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us all, Lord, with great things you have done, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you go before us, that you love us, that we can have a life of peace and joy and light and love as we walk through this time, Lord, that you have this. Lord, help us to take some time to listen, to take some time to talk to you, because we know you are a God who hears. And Lord, don't let us just kind of, oh yeah, she said that. Yeah, probably I should do that. Lord, help us to do it and give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up.